Care Today with Owen Beatty.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Okay, and you are very welcome back. Now, as we have documented on this show, Ireland currently has the highest levels of homelessness in the history of the state. Private rental availability is very low and rents are extremely high. Yet government looks set to end the evictions ban at the end of the month. Well, joining me on the line now is Fine Gael TD for Kildare South and Minister of State at the Department of Agriculture, Martin Hayden. Good morning to you, Martin.
Good morning, Owen.
Certain cohorts of society, Martin, will be waking up to this news this morning asking the question, has the government lost the plot? Does it seem as though the government is out of touch here, Martin?
God, no, Owen. You know, what government has to do, as I've said to you before, is make decisions and take on board all of the consequences of those decisions and the knock-on impacts that they have. And when we're talking about the housing market, every decision we make, every intervention we make has a knock-on implication. So the cohort of people that you're talking about this morning who are waking up, who will be upset to hear this news, are renters. And, you know, we have to be very clear and honest here that interventions we make in the rental market has knock-on impacts. And ultimately, all of our challenges around housing, it's about supply. And that's not just even the supply of the new houses that are built all around the country and all of the incentives that government have in place to do that. But, you know, for renters, there is that supply of private landowners, house owners who rent their properties. And we've seen a marked decline in those numbers. Interventions like government had of the temporary measure to protect renters by deferring the no-fault tenancy terminations from taking place over the last winter, you know, do have an impact on shaking the confidence of people who own those houses. And, you know, we were seeing a marked exit of people from that area. Also, the fact we have to work within the laws that there is. We have the Constitution that has people's properties rights enshrined in there. And while we could, you know, get away over the winter months with a short-term intervention that denied property owners those rights, I think it's fair to say to have extended that beyond the winter for something that would have been a much longer-term proposal is all, because if we extend another 6 months, you would then go into another winter. You realistically would be looking to have to extend beyond the year. I think in that space, we would be on very weak ground to legal challenge, because property owners do have rights enshrined in the Constitution.
Okay. In terms of reaching this agreement to end the eviction ban, Martin, did government listen to any of those organisations such as Threshold, the Simon Community, Focus Ireland, the Peter McVerry Trust, all of these charities that are working on the ground with people that are struggling? Because it seems as though the overwhelming majority of those organisations are saying that the ban has worked and the ban needed to stay in place.
So, obviously, you know, we have seen an increase in homelessness, so the ban hasn't been as effective as it was during the pandemic, but the pandemic was a very different scenario as well. Of course, government engages with all of the key stakeholders. All of those approved housing bodies and charities that you reference are in receipt of massive amounts of taxpayers' money from government, because we partner with them in terms of addressing the challenges, not just around homelessness, but about delivery of more social and affordable houses as well. So, you know, but government has to take on board all sides of this. Government has to take on board the fact that 30,000 people come home from abroad every year. Some of those own houses and apartments, and we were finding increasing examples of those people not being able to access those homes. People who bought their house for their children to be able to attend college then couldn't get those access to their own properties for that. And that was going to have a marked knock-on effect of people selling those properties and not those houses not being available for renting again into the future. So, you know, ultimately here, our approach is all about increasing supply. We've strengthened the role of renters in recent years. We've brought in a number of different measures. And today, we're talking about this decision as a decision, and it's not yet. The Cabinet will meet at 9:30 this morning. They make the decision. What's been reported in the media today is the meeting of the party leaders with the Minister for Housing last night, and that the recommendation that Dara O'Brien will bring to Cabinet this morning. So,
It will go through. I know we're not going to speculate, Martin, but I mean, if the three leaders have met last night and, you know, this is kind of coming out, I doubt there's going to be a large cohort of government TDs that are going to say, actually, no, let's keep the eviction ban in place.
So, no, well, like, it's not government TDs, it's cabinet ministers. It's the 15 cabinet ministers who decide make this decision today. And you're right, it'd be very unlikely that will change. But what we don't know is what will be announced around that. There may be, you know, a process around additional supports for renters and different interventions and the role of landlords in the rental market and the importance of not seeing a continuing decline of them. Because people who are renting now, who maybe don't have any concern about evictions, may well have so in the future if we don't stop the decline of those private landlords as part of the solution. Obviously, government has a very significant approach in terms of cost rental. We have a very significant approach of a major ramping up in housing delivery. Last year saw 29,800, almost 30,000 houses, new houses being built in this country, and 25,000 first-time buyers being able to buy homes last year. Mm. We want to get up to 40,000 houses being delivered a year. You can't do that overnight. You work up towards that. But last year's figures are the biggest delivery figures in about 15 years. We're continuing to ramp up, and the measures, you know, all the different measures we have about supply are for to the benefit of renters, are for the benefit of those who want to buy their own home.
Okay.
That's what government continues to do.
Peter McFerry said, "I've been a strong advocate for this ban to be extended. I'm very disappointed that it's not. It's becoming clearer to me that this government are on the side of owners of capital, on the side of big international investment funds who love to see rents going up, and on the side of the banks who love to see property prices going up." What do you say to that?
I would respectfully disagree with that. I'm very proud to be a TD for Kildare South, who do my clinics, who work with my constituents all across Kildare South. And I'm as much in tune with the challenges that people and renters in my constituency are facing. And I would say very clearly the government are making this decision in the best interests of everybody who's dependent on our housing system. So I think it's very unfair to personalise caricatures like that. It fades into a narrative that just isn't true. We're doing our best here to try and fix what is a really complex problem and what's a really challenging problem that can't be fixed overnight. The intervention, as it was, I've heard plenty of people who work in the housing charities section say it's not perfect, you know, such interventions. And I think everyone will accept when it becomes a longer term measure, then that stores up a huge amount of problems for renters down the line. Mm. So government is doing this as very much with a focus on renters as much as anybody else.
Okay, finally, Martin, because I know you have to go to that meeting at 9:30, but just before we let you go, if we go on current trends and trends that we've seen over the last number of months, with this eviction ban now going to be lifted, we're going to see an increase in homelessness. Is the government setting themselves up here for more scrutiny? And 2 or 3 months down the line, you know, you can kind of see where this is going to go. The opposition are going to be standing on the other side of the doll saying, well, if you didn't lift the eviction ban, there wouldn't be as many people as there are now homeless.
The point is, Owen, that like the opposition get to focus on this topic today and this topic alone, and to predict or suggest interventions without any responsibility for the consequences of those decisions. So, you know, government has to take a longer term view than just the next couple of months. And I tell you, if there is a store up of problems now, what would that store up of problems be like in a year and a half time? You know, we could be having a different conversation here this morning. If government had announced this was being extended for another 2 years, you could accuse me of government trying to kick this out and storing up loads of problems until after the next general election. So government isn't thinking like that. Government is thinking about all of the consequences of all of its actions and its interactions. We know Housing for All is working. We know we are ramping up that supply and delivery. We know there's challenges in the short term. All the measures and the interventions we take tries to get that balance right to make sure we keep that supply, both of rental properties as well as new homes, into the system that is to the benefit of renters down the line.
Okay, Fine Gael, TD for Kildare South and Minister of State at the Department of Agriculture, Martin Hayden, with that. Thanks for joining us this morning, Martin. And of course, we'll follow up on what happens at that meeting at 9:30 between government leaders and cabinet ministers, etc. John Mark McCafferty is also on the line, CEO of Threshold. John Mark, good morning.
Good morning to you.
You've been listening to what Martin Hayden had to say there. I note that Threshold and yourself saying that extending the eviction ban beyond March would be the least worst move. What do you mean by that?
Well, we're mindful that whatever you do with an eviction, you know, regarding evictions, they are not ideal. And if you bring in an eviction ban, okay, it does protect tenancies in the here and now, but it can store up issues that the deputy has just mentioned there regarding what small landlords might choose to do in the next 6 months, in the next 2 years. Because if they if their options are limited due to a ban, or if we're moving in and out of bans, then that does create greater uncertainty in the housing market. So we know that there are advantages and disadvantages to both sides, and it's a very delicate balance. However, we given our experience of working with renters and their families every single day. Our sense was that given also the abject lack of supply, the abject lack of housing options, when someone is faced with a tenancy termination, has to find a new home, because these are homes. This is not just like some other kind of consumable that we can kind of throw away or disregard. We're talking about people's homes. They are faced with the challenge of not being able to find anywhere alternative when their tenancy ends. And not only that, when they then have recourse to the safety net, which is the local authority emergency homeless services, they're maxed out, they're at capacity. So the question is where those families, those individuals go. What do we advise them to do in that situation? The extending of the ban would have implications in the longer term for the decisions that small landlords make, and let's remember that small landlords make up the vast majority of the private rented housing supply across the country, and almost all of the supply for middle and lower income renters. So we are mindful of the longer term supply implications of extending the eviction ban. That said, once you end the ban, you ramp up homelessness, you ramp up the ending, the tenancies coming to an end, and families and individuals losing their rented homes, trying to find alternative accommodation, not being able to find alternative accommodation, not being able to access homeless emergency accommodation because local authorities are at capacity.
Yeah, and that's the point That's the point that I was making with Martin Hayden there at the end. Do you feel as though government has the foresight now and will have those measures in place in time when this eviction ban is lifted at the end of the month? Because, anybody knows that when you lift this eviction ban, homelessness is not going to go down. It's going to go the other way. It's going to go up. So we need that emergency accommodation in place. But as you say, local authorities are already bursting at the seams.
Yes, I mean, I've asked on a number of occasions in the last number of days and even weeks, what assurances can we get that local authorities have the capacity, have the resources to be able to absorb the families and the people who will lose their rented homes and not find alternative accommodation and have recourse to emergency accommodation. And I've not heard reassurances in that regard. So it's also kind of a question of what we as Thresholds and as an advice and a tenants advocacy organisation, what we say and advise people who are renting and worried about losing their home, because we know they have few options. We can advise them on to ensure that they get access to their notice periods, according to how long they've stayed in the house or the apartment. But that's small comfort if. Even if they've 6 months or 9 months to look for a place, if there's no housing to source, ultimately that will end in homelessness. It won't end in just, well, here's me in a kind of a homeless hub, here's my family are now in a hotel. I mean, the hotels are now looking towards the tourist market as the beginning of the tourist season commences. So we have a very, very challenging situation for private renters. And I guess to your question, yes, some things will be in place. And, there is a longer running commitment there by government under Housing for All. So, and as the deputy had mentioned, there is a ramping up of supply, and that is very much welcome. And supply in social housing, we now have cost rental for the first time in the last couple of years, supplied by some of the bigger approved housing bodies. We need to see much more of that. We need to see much more social housing, because a lot of people are inappropriately housed in the private rented sector, and they're low-income families in they really should be in social housing. And then for people on, you know, in kind of mid, lower to middle income households, they need cost rental. It's the kind of models that we see succeeding elsewhere in Northern Europe. It's what, you know, we're aspiring to. We're starting from a low baseline, but, you know, those supply initiatives are really, really important. There are other initiatives that were mentioned, you know, around first refusal for a tenant to buy a place if the landlord's thinking of selling. That's all very well, but if you're a tenant and you've just spent all your money on rent for the last 10 years and you weren't able to save a penny or a cent, then, you know, you won't necessarily have the deposit for a mortgage to buy that place. So it may help in a small number of circumstances, but it's one of kind of a number of niche initiatives. And I suppose another one there is where the landlord is selling that the house might be sold to the local authority or to an approved housing body, and that really should be encouraged and pushed as much as possible. But again, it is only for a kind of a certain number of circumstances. I guess it just points to the general precariousness of the private rented sector, of the need for longer term tenancies. We have advocated for tax changes to support small landlords, but in very specific cases. One is in relation to reducing capital gains tax, where to encourage the landlord to sell to a local authority or an approved housing body. And the other one is reducing the overall kind of tax treatment of landlords, but that should only be, that should be connected to a change in behaviour. It should be connected to longer-term tenancies, like the landlord commits to a 10-year lease or a 20-year lease in order to qualify for, say, a lower tax rate, general tax rate. So these are all kind of initiatives that can be considered, but supply is a massive one, and clearly the private rented sector, as we see it now, is no place for many of the people we assist, because they are so vulnerable. They are worried about losing their home, and we need further security of tenure and stronger and longer leases and less precariousness.
Okay, that's CEO of Threshold, John Mark McCafferty, giving his reaction to the news this morning. Thanks indeed, John Mark, for joining us, and a very good morning to you. Some of the messages that have come in to us, one here saying, does Martin Hayden know where they're going to put all the people that will be evicted? That comes in from May. Also, why don't the government give people a grant to fix up all the empty houses around the country? You say you pass two every day for the last 9 years, and there's still no one in them. Well, you know, I think that is absolutely one of the main issues here, is those vacant and derelict houses. And in fairness, the government and opposition and all the homeless organisations are in agreement there. Those vacant properties need to be brought back in to use, to be available to people. Another one in here says, I think the whole housing system is wrong, and I'm working two jobs to keep my family okay. I can't get a mortgage, but nothing is out there to help me. Another one here saying, or disagreeing with what Martin had to say, and Paul in Monastrevin agreeing with John Mark. Let's go to Social Democrats councillor Chris Pender on the Kildare Newbridge Municipal District. Good morning, Chris.
Morning, Owen.
Your reaction to this, Chris?
To be honest, it's almost laughable to hear Minister Hayden talking about how over the last number of years they've strengthened renters' rights, and yet there's still little to no security for any kind of a renter out there. Like, I mean, I myself am a renter. I rent a one-bed apartment on Eyre Street here in Newbridge. But yet in the morning, my landlord could turn around and say that he wants his daughter to move in there, or he has a change in family circumstance and I moved over there, regardless of whether I have been paying my rent, regardless of whether I have been prioritising paying my rent over paying for electricity or food. And that's a situation that many people are in. Many people are now faced with the fact that over the last number of years they have prioritised paying rent. They've prioritised essentially paying landlords' mortgages over feeding themselves and heating their homes, over feeding their kids and heating their homes. And what they're now faced with, what we're all now faced with, is an avalanche of homelessness. Prior to the eviction ban being introduced, The RTB indicated that there were 2,273 tenants that were served eviction notices. That's 2,273 people that, once this eviction ban is lifted, will be facing eviction. And I don't know if you've had a look on daft.ie this morning, but like, if you look, for instance, in Kildare as a whole, there's 65 properties for rent. If you look at Newbridge and surrounds, my own area, there's 10 properties for rent. Of those properties, I think two of them are within HAP limits for a single individual, and probably three of them are within HAP limits for maybe a three-person family. And hearing Minister Hayden turn around and say that the government are aware of the consequences and they're taking the consequences on board, like, what consequences are government actually taking on board? Are they increasing funding to local councils for the tenant in situ scheme to allow us to actually to purchase homes where people are facing the possibility of eviction? Are they going to increase funding for CPOs so that we can compulsory purchase order some of those vacant properties or derelict homes so we can bring them back into use? Because let's be very clear here, and I think this is something that's constantly missing. People talk about the fact that councils need to buy these properties, they need to bring these properties back into use. But that is part of the council's budget for the purchase of housing. And oftentimes when it comes to CPOs, they can be a lengthy court battle that eats into that when instead of fighting to purchase one property, we could have purchased three. So while I understand where people are coming from in the balancing of rights between landlords and renters, there is no balance here. They've essentially just turned around to landlords and said, you can do what you want, whereas renters and tenants are sitting there facing the possibility of eviction in 3 weeks now, not even a month. And like, I have, like, on average, I have people coming to my door, to the door of my office, facing the possibility of eviction. Since the emergency legislation was introduced for the eviction ban, I've had 23 people in my office who have been served notice throughout this. Now, that notice will be after the eviction ban, but that's a further 23 people on top of 2,273 people.
Okay. Just to mention as well, of course, Chris, is that this is where we are at the moment after where Dara O'Brien discussed that moratorium with the three government party leaders last night. But it is understood that the Cabinet is likely to discuss plans for a budgetary package for tenants and landlords, which will be developed over the coming months. So we do have to wait and see the kind of devil within the detail there, what comes out of that meeting, which is currently ongoing. But just to ask you, Chris, and I've raised this issue with some of the Sinn Féin TDs as well, who are calling for a three-year eviction ban. Where would you draw the line? Because, you know, the government, and I've put this point to Martin Hayden, you know, it is going to see an increase in homelessness. Anybody will tell you that. But where do we draw the line? Because we can't just have an open-ended eviction ban, can we?
No, absolutely not. Now, we can increase security for tenants, but what I would be looking for us to extend the eviction ban to, at the very least, the end of the year. Martin himself has said that the Housing for All plan is working. Now, I'll disagree in certain things. Yes, we had 30,000 houses built last year, but the target of 9,000 social homes, which was ridiculously low, wasn't even met.
But just to come back in there, Chris, and play devil's advocate, and just to put it in context, if we say extend the eviction ban to the end of the year, we're looking at December. There'll be uproar, you know, come November, December, if we start saying, OK, the eviction ban is lifted, then we're going to put people out on the streets in the middle of winter. And then we're back in a circle again, back to where we are at the moment.
Instead of saying the end of the year, I should have said for a year.
Right.
So to bring us back to this point, that would, in essence, give government, as they've said, their Housing for All plan is working. It would give them the opportunity to increase supply. It would give them the opportunity to increase cost-based rental. It would give them the opportunity to increase affordable purchase. It would give them multiple opportunities to ramp up their plan with the security of knowing, listen, I think we all know that evictions have continued throughout this ban, and evictions will continue regardless of the ban, because it's a watered-down version of the ban, and there are still ways of evicting people if a landlord truly wants to. But it would give them the opportunity to ramp up the tenant in situ scheme, allowing councils to purchase properties where tenants are facing homelessness. It would give them the opportunity to support councils to make compulsory purchase orders on empty buildings. It would give them the opportunity to explore the possibility of introducing something like compulsory rental orders, which are done in many other European countries. It would give them the opportunity to increase the delivery of affordable cost-based rental and social housing. I'm not saying extend this indefinitely. I'm not saying extend an eviction ban to a point where, like, where oftentimes small landlords will be the worst affected, because there's multiple investment companies out there that will not be affected by this. Do not care. They'll sit on properties empty. But by extending the eviction ban even for a year, it gives the government an opportunity to see if their plan is working, to ramp up the delivery of their plan. I have a 60-year-old woman whose apartment block is being sold to an investment fund. I have a single mother with three kids. One of them is being homeschooled due to a lack of school places. And I have a family with one child prepping for community and another child prepping for Leaving Cert. What am I supposed to tell them? Like, this is the reality of what they're doing. They can talk about the fact that this is impacting small landlords, but this is impacting young families, small families, pensioners. This is impacting kids going to school. Like, ending up in homeless accommodation, and let's be very clear, that's if these families even end up in homeless accommodation, because as Martin from Threshold said, local authorities are at capacity. I'm not sure that we have the emergency accommodation to house the people that will be looking for it.
Okay.
And to say that the government are taking vacant housing seriously, how exactly are they taking it seriously when they've implemented a 0.3% vacant homes tax when inflation has gone up, when profits in housing have gone up by over 10%.
Okay.
Like a 0.3% vacancy tax with the proviso that if that property is derelict, they don't have to pay it. They're literally encouraging vacancy and dereliction.
All right. On that note, Councillor Chris Pender of the Social Democrats on the Kildare Newbridge Municipal District, we'll leave it there. As we have mentioned, that meeting is ongoing at the moment. Anything that comes out of it throughout the course of the show, we'll bring it to you. And of course, you can hear more on our news bulletins throughout the day here on KFM. One listener has texted in. She doesn't want to be named, or we won't even give where the estate is, but there's a particular house in an estate in one of the towns in the county that has been there for the last 18 months with the recycling bin still full outside it since the person who lived in the house died. And she says it's disgraceful with people looking for houses. And speaking of houses, actually, we were talking earlier on about how maybe us Irish are a little bit too polite when people overstay their welcome. Jura was in touch to say if you want people to leave your house, what you have to say is, if I was in your house, I'd be gone home long ago.
Kildare Today with Owen Beattie.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie. Kildare's KFM.
Okay, a reminder, if you want to get in touch with us, you can do so by text or WhatsApp 0833 97 97 97. You can email studio@kfmradio.com, or you can call us on 045 898 999. Now, Social Democrats TD for the Wicklow area, Jennifer Whitmore, has raised the issue of a lack of permanent accommodation for Blessington Community College in Dáil Éireann, having met with the school's parents and Teacher Association this week on the matter. Deputy Whitmore raised the issue directly with Minister for Education Norma Foley in the Dáil this week, and Jennifer Whitmore is with us now on the line. Good morning, Jennifer, and thanks for talking to us. Just give us some of the background here, Jennifer, as to what's going on. This is quite an ongoing issue, isn't it?
It is, unfortunately. So the Blessington Community College, they were promised a permanent build in 2018, because obviously the school is growing significantly. I think it's doubled its intake in the last 9 years alone. So it is very much a growing and popular school. And so the department promised and committed to a new building for the school in 2018. But unfortunately, there has been no delivery of that building. there's been no progress whatsoever towards actually getting that new building in place. And, you know, that's resulted in significant issues for Blessington Community College, because they're now at the point where, you know, they're sort of scrambling to get temporary accommodation in place for the intake for September 23. And obviously they still need the permanent build. So I met with, as you said, I met with the parents, over the last week, and also with the school management itself, and we discussed the issues that they were facing, and I raised it in the Dáil with Minister Foley to try get an answer, because what the school needed, you know, there's two issues: that they need accommodation for September 23 to make sure that they can actually have seats for those children that they've enrolled, and then also they need to know what's happening with the new build, and you know what they need is timelines and clarity and certainty to enable them to continue with the school progress.
Well, Blessington Community College has 627 students currently enrolled, and that represents a doubling of students over the last 9 years. And the projected intake for next school term, so in August, September, is 709 students. People who are tuned into us in Blessington will know that that's a town that's growing and growing. But also, there's certain places here in Kildare, and I'm thinking of the likes of Ballymore, Eadstown, Kilteel, Rathmore, Naas, where students from primary schools in those areas would actually go to school in Blessington because maybe Naas schools are full. So not only do you have people within the town of Blessington, but the surrounding areas are all trying to get places in that school.
Absolutely, and any parents of primary children in that area would know how stressful it is when you don't know where your children are going to go to school. And it's very stressful for the children as well. They don't know if they're going to be with their friends. They don't know what, you know, school, where they're going to be going, all that kind of stuff. It just adds so much difficulty to people. I think the principal has calculated there's 11 feeder schools for Blessington Community College. And actually what he's done is he's contacted each of those feeder schools to find out how many primary children are in them, because obviously those primary children are the ones who are going to be looking to get into Blessington Community College when they come of age. Those figures just show an incredible increase in the number of students that will need a secondary place. And one of the issues for the community college is that actually when the department announced 5 years ago that they were going to put a new building in, that building was for 650 students. Now, as you said, by this September, the demand and the number of students that will be in the school will be around, I think it's around 710. Which is already far surpassed what the department had planned for. So the school are actually, what they want now is 1,000 student school to actually meet the demand that's in the area. And, you know, so that's another issue that the department need to engage with the school to let them know, well, A, when are they going to start building, but also what are they going to start building? You know, will it be 1,000 student school that will meet the needs of this growing community? Or are they going to continue with the 650 school, which I don't think is acceptable considering, you know, that there will be 710 students this September alone.
Did you get any answers from Minister for Education Norma Foley, and coming out of raising those questions, would you be more confident, or are you just going around in circles?
I didn't get very clear answers, unfortunately, from the minister. You tend to get told things that you know the school and yourself already are aware of. But what it does do is it sort of gets it onto the minister's desk, and it makes her aware that there is pressure building. And so what I would hope to see is that over the coming week, certainly that we need to have clarity on the temporary buildings. But we need to see the department moving forward towards this, the permanent build. And I suppose what I would say is that there was a report in the weekend that there's 58 school buildings have been sort of put on hold by the department because of funding issues. And the Blessington Community College, as far as I'm aware, isn't one of those. So I think that is a positive sign. But, you know, this will take, I think it's going to take a lot of political pressure as well, unfortunately, as parental pressure, to just sort of speed up and get you know, clarity as soon as possible on this, because parents can't continue to wait with this uncertain situation over the head.
Okay, that's Social Democrats TD for Wicklow, Jennifer Whitmore, who raised the issue of a lack of permanent accommodation for Blessington Community College in Dáil Éireann this week. Thanks, Jennifer, for joining us. And I know we have some parents tuned in to us from Strafan and Rathcoffey regarding the public meeting that took place in Friel's Pub last night to discuss the need for better school transport for students from Strafan and Rathcoffey to the Maynooth Education Campus. We're going to be reflecting on that meeting at around about 10:30 this morning, if you want to stay tuned for that.